Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So in this interview, we're going to be talking a lot about the Achilles tendon and how Dr. Stacy ruptured her Achilles tendon. One thing that Jen and I love to do with our foot health is wear barefoot shoes, because what barefoot shoes don't have is a heel lift like a lot of traditional shoes, traditional running or lifting shoes. They tend to lift your heel, which actually puts your Achilles tendon at a shortened position. So when we get ourselves in these barefoot shoes, we don't have that heel lift, and it makes our Achilles tendon work a little bit more. So every time you're walking or hiking or out and about or lifting, exercising, using these barefoot shoes, it is making your Achilles tendon develop a little bit more functional range. That's why we use Vivo barefoot shoes. It's all Jen and I have worn for the past 3+ years. We love them for working out, for casual shoes, for hiking. It's the fall. It's time to get outdoors and enjoy the amazing colors, enjoy the amazing season changes. If you live somewhere that has season changes, I'm originally from Minnesota. In California, there's not really a significant season change. It's just still hot. But if you're looking for shoes to get outside and Vivo has them all, go down to the link in the show notes. Make sure you use code Optimal at checkout. That will give you 15% off. Vivo has a 100-day risk-free trial where you can try them out, see if they integrate into your life well. If you don't thoroughly enjoy them, you can send them back. No questions asked for a refund. I promise you, you likely won't need to do that. Go check out that link in the show notes. Get your favorite pair. I just love the Primus Lights. They are great for everything, movement, casual alike. Check them out. Use code Optimal at checkout to get your 15% off. And now let's head into the interview.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. We are bringing Dr. Stacy back on the podcast this time to talk all about her major injury. She ruptured her Achilles tendon. And not only that, but she brought her therapist, Dr. Megan, on as well to talk about this entire rehab process, because it's not just about what happens physically, but it's also about what happens mentally as we go through pain and injury. Now, Dr. Stacy is the founder and owner of the PhysioFix, which is a unique physical therapy and sports performance facility in Phoenix, Arizona. The PhysioFix was founded in 2017 out of the desire to create a new outpatient sports physical therapy model, one that allows you to work one-on-one with patients to give them the attention and care that they deserve. The PhysioFix is a hybrid insurance cash pay clinic that offers various services, so both in person and online, such as physical therapy, personal training, group training, video consultations, custom remote training, programming, and several app-based training rehab template programs to assist in one of her goals, which is to be able to provide high-quality care that is both accessible and affordable no matter where you live. Stacy really considers herself a movement-based therapist and constantly uses her background in gymnastics, sports performance coaching, physical therapy, and weightlifting, powerlifting to help her patients not only feel better, but also move better and get stronger too. Now, Dr. Megan is also a physical therapist from Phoenix, Arizona. She grew up as a competitive gymnast and experienced many injuries throughout her career. She spent a lot of time in physical therapy, and it ignited her passion to help others return to sport or activity of choice. She obtained her Doctor of Physical Therapy degree from Midwestern University and has 9+ years of experience in the field. She is passionate about injury prevention and helping athletes compete at the top of their game. Now, not only that, but Megan is quite impressive because she's now an avid trail runner and enjoys participating in ultra marathons in the mountains. She's competed in 4 races at 100-mile distance and enjoys seeing the world from her own 2 feet. She really loves the outdoors and adventuring with her husband, Brian, and dog, Strider. This is a really cool interview talking into what happened throughout this incredible injury process, especially one as big as rupturing your Achilles, and how they're taking the rehab approach just a little bit differently. Well, Dr. Stacy, Dr. Megan, thank you guys both for being here with us. We get 2 PTs, which means we have a total of 4 PTs on this episode today.
Squad.
which we just really appreciate you guys both being able to take the time and chat with us through injury and the rehab process and the mental side of that rehab process that I don't think, you know, gets normalized enough. So we just really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on again. And this is my second time on your podcast, so thanks for having me back.
And yeah. Thank you for having me too.
Really fun having you back on, Dr. Stacy. You were one of our first all-time interviews, yeah. And it's crazy how long ago that was. But Dr. Megan, first time we're privileged to have you on. And yeah, if anyone wants to go back and listen to Stacy's first interview, it talks a lot about previous injuries you've had and kind of the process of going through a lot of injuries, especially in gymnastics and high-level gymnastics. And actually, what we want to talk about on this podcast primarily is a recent injury that you had in rupturing your Achilles, and just the process mentally, physically, going through all the rehab and working with Dr. Megan. So I don't know if you first just want to preface by talking about the injury and how that happened.
Okay, so yeah, let's go back to December of 2021. So about 8 months ago now, we were actually having our first ever holiday party as a company. Mm. So we were at Sky Zone, which is like a kind of like a trampoline park, and it has lots of different, you know, things that you can do. And I was so excited, you know, being a former gymnast, to try all the things. So it was like within like the first, I guess, 30 minutes of me being there, I had jumped on the trampoline and I had went up the rock climbing wall. And the third thing on my list was warped wall. So the warped wall is, I don't know if everyone's familiar that's listening, but it is pretty much like a curved wall that you have to run up, and then you try to like get to the top of it. And it's quite challenging when you're a shorty like myself. I mean, I'm 5'5", so I'm not incredibly tall. I was a former gymnast, you know, got to keep that in mind. So I'm very determined to do new tasks. And I ran up there was two walls. One of them was like 14 feet high, and I ran up that one quite easily the first try. So I wanted to try the higher wall, of course. So I kept trying. I think I did three tries total, and I was so close to getting it on my second try that I tried that third try, pushed off incredibly hard off of my left foot. And I have it on video. So if anyone ever wants to see that, just send me a message. And I pushed off just a little bit too hard, and I obviously don't train that movement. And I knew immediately what happened, being a clinician. It felt like someone literally stabbed me or shot me in the back of the calf. And I came down and I just sat there and I was like, I just ruptured my Achilles. And everyone was like, no, you didn't. You're fine. You just sprained your ankle. And I was like, no, I ruptured my Achilles. I was like, go get one of the other clinicians that was already there at that point that works for my company. So they went and grabbed him, and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, I just ruptured my Achilles. And that's pretty much it. I knew right away. So I messaged one of the doctors I know that's a surgeon, and he got me in the next day. And then I had surgery 2 days later. So my surgery was December 15th, and I just literally celebrated 8 months post-op 2 days ago.
Wow. I mean, what a process too, if right from knowing exactly what happened to getting in and getting seen and getting surgery right away. I think, you know, that process might be extended for a lot of people who aren't sure what happened or do try to walk it off or...
Also, I think an important lesson that we can learn there is Sky Zone is very dangerous for former and retired gymnasts and just athletes in general, because I can absolutely see myself hurting myself very badly at a Sky Zone.
Exactly. So you know what the funny thing is? After this whole thing happened to me, I found out in Canada, they outlawed it for adults to run up the warped wall.
Oh my God.
So they have like different, you know, trampoline parks all across the world. But in Canada, the high risk of rupture for your Achilles when you do this one specific thing, running up the warped wall, is so high, so prevalent, they've outlawed it.
No way.
Oh my gosh. What was your initial thought? Like, as soon as you knew that this happened, what were you feeling? What was going through your mind?
Well, first it was like, oh my gosh, how did this happen to me? You know, like I train everything and I make sure I do mobility work and strength training and plyometrics. Like I hit the full spectrum of everything. I practice what I preach. Like, how could this thing happen to me? And this is the injury that I feared my entire life. And I thought that it was an irrational fear. until it was not an irrational fear and it actually happened to me. So I think the first thought was, wow, like this actually happened. And then the second thought was, okay, how can I, you know, make something good out of something bad and, you know, try to find that silver lining to this whole injury. And, you know, that's when I like immediately decided that I'm going to record everything I do. I'm going to, you know, kind of document this whole process for people. And I knew already after treating so many Achilles injuries with my patients too, that the protocols are so outdated and they're just so, so all over the place that I wanted to make something a little bit better. And I wanted to, you know, eventually give back to my profession in this way because I've now experienced it myself. And that's kind of what we've been doing since.
So Dr. Megan, I want to hear from you a little bit about one, how you came into the picture. And I think there's a valuable conversation here too about, you know, Stacy, you are a PT. So why work with a PT when you're a PT and you know what's going on anyway? So Dr. Megan, what was your thought going in to how you're going to approach this rehab plan, especially working with somebody like Stacy, who's very motivated, does all the things workout-wise, weightlifting, powerlifting, gymnastics. What did you feel like were going to be some of the challenges going into this?
So I was there that night. And so I kind of rushed over to where she was sitting on the ground. And I just remember her looking at me and asking, so have you treated a lot of Achilles in the past? So I have like 9 years of PT experience. And I would say like the amount of times that I've actually treated an Achilles like post-op is maybe like one or two a year would kind of walk in the door. So it's not something that you see like every single day and all the times, but I told her that I would, you know, be comfortable with it. And Stacy and I kind of have like our relationship started. I actually decided to seek like outside care for an injury that I was having. And so I started to, I wanted to come into physical therapy and I wanted to take myself out of the picture because I think as therapists, we can be really biased in how we would treat something and what we would give to a patient. And sometimes it's just really good to take yourself out of the equation and just take on this outside perspective, you know, just have someone looking at you and telling you what they think you would do. So I think being a therapist and being as active as Stacy is, that it was really smart to, it's an overwhelming process to go through surgery and then have to guide yourself through that and then provide rehab to everyone around you and then at the end of the day try to fit it in for yourself. So I think it was a really smart and awesome decision that she decided to like take the time for herself and build that into her schedule to see another clinician and get that outside perspective. And you know, every day that we've had sessions together, we do have a lot of conversations. So it is different than when, you know, I'm treating someone that's not a physical therapist because we do talk about, you know, the protocols and kind of how outdated and how big of a jump it is to go from being in a bed to walking and then all of a sudden being able to jump when maybe we didn't take like, you know, all the progressions that we think we should be giving our patients. And so it was just kind of a cool and really different experience to just kind of define like a new normal and to try to help redefine what's possible. So I think this injury for a lot of people, like they think, you know, they're not going to get back to the things that they want to do, but to just like kind of ride the highs and lows of her journey and, you know, meet her on the days that maybe aren't so great or the days where, you know, we're not able to do as much, but then just to be able to see her get back to hiking and, you know, just starting to get back into weightlifting and stuff like that. And just to see how strong she's gotten through the process, it's just been a really amazing and great thing.
Now, Megan, how soon after surgery were you able to step in and start helping? Was it kind of immediate? Was there a waiting process that you had to do?
So she had her surgery on December 15th. And then the first day that I treated her was January 3rd.
Mm. Yep.
So pretty early on, we actually have a lot of patients that won't start therapy until 6 weeks post-op. So she started pretty early on.
Yeah, I had to go into a splint first, like a hard splint, and then I was in a cast after that. And so as soon as I got my cast removed, went straight to therapy, literally like from the orthopedist appointment. And he removed the cast and I was like, I'm going to therapy today. And he was like, okay.
Great.
Classic overachieving patient right there. no, so I question kind of for both of you is, you mentioned that you feel things are outdated or a little scrambled in the protocols for, you know, recovering from an Achilles rupture, but I'm sure also for other things. What specifically for, you know, recovering or rehab from an Achilles rupture do you feel like is outdated?
So all of the protocols are all over the place. Like, you'll find a protocol that's like, you know, a local surgeon versus like somewhere else, and they're completely different. So it's like, some have 6 weeks non-weight bearing, some have 8 weeks non-weight bearing, some have 12 weeks non-weight bearing, some are even longer than that, which is just absurd. Some have like early movement, some have no movement until 12 weeks. They are just so out, they're just really all over the place. And we found that like most of them have this like step where they go straight from non-weight bearing to jumping. And it's like, where was the strengthening stuff? They're like, hey, let's start implementing squats, and then, okay, let's do jump roping. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, there's a huge step in the middle there. And even my surgeon, who knows I'm a physical therapist and gave me a ton of autonomy and a lot of control in like kind of adjusting the protocol based on how I felt, he was like, I expect you to be jump roping at 12 weeks post-op.
Whoa.
And I was not ready at 12 weeks post-op. And I'm not sure if you followed this journey, but I actually had a partial re-rupture at week 14 post-op. And I had just started doing some basic jumping then and hopping then. And so if I would have jump roped at 12 weeks post-op, I would have fully re-ruptured again. I know it.
Wow. So what happened after you partially ruptured?
So after I partially re-ruptured, first I put myself back into a boot because, you know, your Achilles has this tremendous ability to heal itself because it has really good blood supply down there. So if you put it in the right environment, which means it has to be, based on all the research, 22 degrees of plantar flexion, that's the optimal healing environment for the Achilles. So I put myself back in the boot in, and I added wedges to the heel of the boot so that I put myself in that 22 degrees of plantar flexion. And I stayed there until, you know, I told my doctor, you know, what had happened. And he did not believe me that I thought that I re-ruptured, which is another really frustrating point because I have a ton of knowledge and experience with this stuff, and I know what my body feels like, and he didn't even believe me. So, you know, someone with less knowledge and less experience, it would be even harder for them to get another MRI. I had to fight him for this other MRI, and then, of course, it confirmed that I had this partial re-rupture, which was centralized in my, like, gash, or like, more the soleus Achilles area. But for the next 6 weeks, I put myself on a cowgirl boot protocol. this is my own thing. So we used to, like, back in the day, always prescribe like cowboy boots or cowgirl boots for anyone that had like Achilles tendinopathy. And I was like, why the heck not do it with someone that has like a rupture? And so I have really high cowgirl boots that put myself in about 25 degrees of plantar flexion all the time. And for 6 weeks, I walked around the office treating patients in cowgirl boots after I partially re-ruptured.
Wow. But you were able to walk and you were able to kind of do some basic stuff.
Yeah. The first week was bad. It definitely like bruised and swelled again. That's why I knew something was just, you know, definitely off. But then after that, you know, I just kind of relied on science and kind of said, this is what the protocols say. This is what science tells us. This is what research is showing me. I think I can do this without being completely immobilized because obviously there's some movement with, like, you know, the boots. It's not like, a normal walking boot that's fully stationary. So, and then at nighttime I was fully stationary. I put myself in a boot, that was actually completely stable and sleep in that, 22 degrees of plantar flex position. And I haven't had a new MRI yet, but I know that it's healed because my strength and everything has just returned back to normal after that period of immobilization.
Yeah. Wow. I think I love the cowboy boots thing. I think I was watching your kind of 6 month recap and I saw you doing like a split jerk in cowboy boots. I'm just like, that's pretty genius right there. But I want to talk a little bit about that frustration you had, especially with the surgeon, because I feel like this is something a lot of people experience where they go in and they start talking about a pain or, hey, this doesn't feel normal, and they just don't feel heard. And I would love for both of you even to talk about, like, what do you recommend for people listening? Because I'm sure that's something that some people are able to relate to, just this frustration of not feeling like a doctor, a surgeon, whoever it might be, is hearing them or believing that they're in the pain that they're in. Like, how do patients self-advocate when they're working with a doctor who thinks they know better what your body is feeling than you do.
I think that you just kind of hit on like one of the biggest points that we try to tell our patients, is that we, in this day and age, like, we have to be an advocate for ourselves, and we have to be able to, you know, stand up and say, you know, something's not right. And, you know, in this situation, like, Stacey does have a good relationship with her surgeon, and then she was able to kind of discuss, like, from a physical therapy standpoint, you know, what was going on, what happened, and then get that appointment. And then ultimately that led to getting the MRI. So we just try to have a really good, you know, relationship with our patients and be able to, you know, have that conversation. You know, I had to call a surgeon, you know, last week for a patient because he didn't want her to start therapy until 6 weeks post-op. So I think if you are going to therapy and you find a good provider and someone willing to kind of go to bat for you to explain, like, you know, this is the importance of, you know, doing this so that you can get back to the stuff you want to do, or so that you can start therapy earlier, so that you can maybe get that image just to kind of make sure everything's clear before, you know, you continue on. I think that's a really, you know, awesome thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I would say the same thing. And like, if you don't have a physical therapist that you rely on that's going to go to bat for you, I would definitely just, you know, do as much research as you can and then just ask questions, because I think surgeons feel like they're being attacked sometimes, and they're like expertise. And that's what my surgeon, I felt like too, is that he was like, I did everything to prevent you from ever having a re-rupture, you know, like, so it wasn't my work. Like, this isn't the reason why you re-ruptured, you know? And so he felt like personally offended the fact that I re-ruptured, because it's impossible in his eyes for me to have done this. And so I kept, you know, just explaining that, like, I'm in this Facebook group with, you know, 10,000 people that have had an Achilles injury, and it's very common to have a re-rupture. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to it, but I actually had a mechanism of injury and I have it on video. And it wasn't until I showed him that video that he was like, let's do an MRI. And I think that's still ridiculous, because I was asking for it the whole time, but it was like, I had that extra little piece of, this is what happened. Listen to this sound. And he was like, oh God, like, you're right. You maybe just retort it. And I was like, yeah, I think something's definitely wrong. But yeah, even with my experience and my knowledge, it was still not easy to convince him to get that MRI.
I mean, and that's the uphill battle that I think a lot of people unfortunately have to face. You know, Dom and I have been in offices with MDs, unfortunately, where we're trying to advocate. And like you said, they feel like it's not a conversation anymore. It's an attack on their expertise, but that's not the goal of the conversation.
Yeah, asking questions should never come off, especially as a provider, people asking questions should never come off to you as an attack. I mean, right, if you really are wanting to do the most patient-centered thing, you need to be there and be compassionate. And maybe this is a soap or a little message to any providers listening, but just like, be compassionate for people's questions, because they're asking for a reason.
Yeah.
They clearly have some sort of nervousness or, you know, concern about something going on. So if they're asking questions, like, all you can do is be as compassionate as possible and answer the questions best you can, and not take it as an attack, because we've definitely experienced that as well.
Yeah, it's hard. And do you feel like, you know, the re-rupture happened somewhere because the rehab process got too fast too soon? Or do you feel like there's something that you should have done differently? Like, how do you, Megan, maybe is this for you? Like, how do you feel like the rehab process was approached, whether before this re-rupture and after?
I mean, I think she was definitely progressing at a rate that was, you know, faster than the average person. And mm-hmm. I think when she was going to her post-op appointments, you know, her range of motion had improved. She had, you know, been walking probably quicker than the average person. And yeah, there was just this common comment that was like, yeah, once you get to 12 weeks, you're going to be able to jump rope. And, you know, we took, like, you know, gradual progressions to get there. But unfortunately, like with rehab, and we all know this being physical therapists, is that there's going to be a lot of highs and lows, and there's going to be good days and bad days. And so sometimes pushing on those days where maybe we don't feel the most awesome can kind of lead to other things. But yeah, I mean, it was honestly, like, it was like one of the most devastating moments of my career. I've been a PT for 9 years, and just to, you know, get to that point where someone's making so much progress and something like this happens, it's a huge blow to everybody involved, you know, obviously to Stacey the most, but just to, everyone that works here and everyone around her to just see all that progress. And, you know, then all of a sudden it just kind of like sucks the wind out of your sails and, yeah. You know.
But I was like leading up to that week, that was a high stress week for me, you know, like running a business and having these injuries and having to set 3 hours aside every single week to do rehab myself. In addition to my other strength training, like it's just a lot to take on. And I didn't have 3 extra hours to add in, you know? And so it's like trying to like find it in my day. Then I would, you know, stay up late and not sleep well. And maybe I wasn't hydrating as well. And I feel like it was just so many compounding factors at that point. It was a really bad week for me already. And I should have known that, you know, maybe I should have, you know, it's taken a step back versus like continuing on. But I mean, obviously now I know better. And now, you know, that's another thing that we've learned from this is that, you know, ask those questions. And on those bad days, let's not push it. You know, like when we're having a bad day, we definitely like stop and we do more like hands-on stuff those days. We kind of regress a little bit or just do more basic things, which isn't a step back. It's more just a step to the side. And I think now realizing that maybe it could have been prevented, but I feel like maybe it couldn't have been prevented either too, because where I re-ruptured wasn't even the spot that I ruptured initially. Mm. So I'm thinking it was already, there was some weakness, you know, how like the area above and below usually become weaker when you have something that's fused. Same sort of scenario here. It's like the area above became weaker and obviously it wasn't reconstructed in that area. So now we're just tugging on it and trying to ask it to do a lot of work. And it was just tired, you know, and maybe it was already like partially frayed before and they just reconstructed the other area. I'm not sure. I wasn't, you know, the surgeon and I didn't see what happened, you know, during the surgery, but I think it could have been a number of things. And at the end of the day, I don't think it was anyone's fault.
Yeah.
Bring up such a huge point that I love that you just touched on when it comes to recovery and the rehab process is all of these parallels of health that impact our tissue healing and impact our ability to show up and do the physical things every day, just being that general stress going on in your day, the sleep that you're getting, nutrition, hydration, all the things that we know as providers impact health and recovery and our body's ability to physiologically repair, that often we don't pay a ton of attention to as a provider. So if somebody out there is going through a long-term recovery or a surgery like this, like being able to be open and talk with your provider about that and say, hey, been a really, really tough weekend. It's a Monday. I'm not feeling great. Can we take it easy? So valuable, again, to be able to self-advocate going into a session or something like that. And I kind of just want you to talk a little bit more about that setback, because I think that's another thing a lot of people who go through long-term recoveries will be able to relate to. I mean, one of the most devastating injuries that I had going through my athletic career is I tore my Lisfranc ligament, which is a ligament in my foot, and had screws placed and was 12 weeks non-weight bearing, started walking. They told me I could start doing light cutting. And first time I made a cut, the screws popped out and I retore everything. And it is just the most absolute devastating thing for somebody who's looking to get back into training or doing high level activities. And so as soon as I was watching your 6 month recap video and I saw that and my heart just dropped when I saw you doing those hops and kind of come up weird off of your foot. And so can both of you talk a little bit about how in that moment do you start to flip the script? Because again, there's this immediate devastation, but again, getting your mind back on the right track and saying, okay, this is part of the journey. I can still go through this and have a successful recovery. It's so important.
Even when the initial injury happened, like when I first ruptured back in December, I went into a deep state of depression initially, like for probably several weeks. And that was right before Christmas. And then like, I couldn't go home for Christmas. And I, you know, like all of these things happened and I was unable to like live my life in. You lose a lot of independence too, because I couldn't even get up and down my stairs, you know, like, so it was hard. And I was like, now I'm gonna have to go through this again. Like, am I ever gonna be able to walk? Am I ever gonna be able to get back to who I was before? Like, I lost a bit of myself, you know. It's like, I was this really athletic person, this business owner, like I'm a physical therapist. I should know better, right? It's like, you punish yourself. Like, how did I get in this situation for the second time? And my husband, he is like a godsend. He literally was like, you can't live like this. He was like, you need to snap out of this. Like, you're stronger than you're being right now. and I know it's tough, but you got to get through this. And he was like, you are literally just throwing a pity party for yourself. And I was like, wow, I needed to hear that. You know, like sometimes like we just need that hard truth. And that he said it back in December. And then he said it again after this happened. And I was like, you're right. And it was just that little gentle nudge that I needed. First, I was obviously pissed because I'm like, how dare you? You know, but then after I let it sink in, I was like, you're right. You know, I just really need to like reframe how I'm thinking about this and approaching it. And there's so many people out there experiencing a re-injury or a re-rupture, and all these things happen to so many people. So you know what? The fact that it happened to me means that I can learn from this and I can educate others and I can just try to just give back again to my profession in this way and trying to help educate. And I don't know, it just makes you a better, well-rounded human. And I'm not an outlier by any means. These things happen to me just as easily as they happen to everyone else. So I think that was really important, just the new perspective that my husband gave me.
Mm-hmm. And Megan, what was your approach?
I think that just like the rehab process is so much like life too. And it's like, we hit these low moments and we just really feel like we're never going to return to, you know, performing at that level that, you know, we once did. And so it's really, really hard on the days where we, you know, we have a setback or we're experiencing something where we just feel like we're never going to be ourselves again. And I just want, you know, all the patients out there and all the providers out there to understand, like, that's a completely normal and okay thing, you know, to think that way. But also we kind of have to think, you know, big picture, like obviously, like we have our big goals and our dreams and what we want to get back to. But we also have to like, just kind of focus on one step at a time. And, you know, I always use like the phrase, like, you know, we're not just going to get to the top of the mountain, right? Like we just kind of have to take one small step and kind of take it as it comes. And so, like I said before, like meeting your patients on the days that maybe aren't the best. And, you know, I'm not happy that she re-ruptured her Achilles, but it's taught us a lot of how to handle things, you know, during every session. So there's days and weeks where I notice like she might be a little bit more tired, or she talks about how she hasn't got a lot of sleep, or she didn't eat breakfast until 4 p.m. Like those are days that we're just not going to push it. And so, you know, it doesn't just have to be the patient that's saying like, hey, I'm a little tired today, or, you know, this and that. It's also the provider realizing, you know, it is important that you eat, you know, you need to like give yourself fuel so you could get through these sessions. And then also like sleep is a very important thing too. And so we just kind of learned that maybe those are the days where we take things a little bit easier. And when I say easier, it doesn't mean we don't do anything. We just kind of reframe our goals for that day. And, you know, a lot of times we notice that the next day she's able to get back to, you know,
sprinting.
Yeah, sprinting, exactly. You know, so it's okay to just, you know, not hit a PR or, you know, do something new and cool in every single session. I just think it's part of the process. And we all know it's not a linear process. And, you know, we just have to ride those highs and lows and take it one step at a time and go from there.
So incredibly huge, I think, to be able to hear not only in a rehab sense, but also just in everyday life, right? We're never always going to be continuing to progress and PRing every single time. We have to take recovery sessions. We have to, you know, allow our body to actually listen to the everyday trials that happen. And did I get enough sleep? And am I eating? And am I feeling my body? Or do I need to take it back a step?
I mean, that's huge. I'm also a huge fan of the 4 p.m. breakfast club.
Oh my God.
I do sometimes need reminders to eat food on any given day. So, yeah.
Yeah. These are just hard, you know?
Meals. When do you fit them in? Especially when you're adding in 3 hours of extra rehab for yourself and your schedule. And again...
Well, and I want to ask too, you know, do you feel like, because as a physical therapist, you said this in the beginning too, Stacey, of, you know, I do all the things. I practice what I preach. I do my mobility. I do my strength training. Is this something that could have been preventable? Or is this something that, you know, as we go through life, you never know what will happen. And as much as we try to prepare our body and create this resiliency, injuries can still happen? Or do you really feel like I could have prevented this in some kind of way?
I think 100% that I could never have prevented this in 100 years. Like the amount of force that I pushed off at that angle on that, you know, that specific try, like you can't replicate that. So the only things that are truly preventable, and I have air quotes around that word right now, are the things that we can train for, right? And if you know, build that adaptation and that resiliency, and you know, your tissues get stronger within that, then sure, you can reduce your risk of having an injury during that, but overall prevent it? Absolutely not. There's no such thing as true prevention at the end of the day. And it was just one of those freak accident things that happened to me. And obviously it sucks, but you know, I really don't think that it ever could have been prevented.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you there. And again, you're former gymnast, the amount of force that your calves just remember putting through your ankle, it's something that when you put it at a certain angle and suddenly your body's like, oh, I really need to shove off here. Like, how can you, again, replicate that? And I think that the Achilles rupture, when you said like, oh, I think it was just an irrational fear that I've had all my life, like that's something that's starting to creep in for me too, as somebody who was a football, baseball, basketball athlete. I was a sprint athlete, always jumping. And I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to jump into like these city basketball leagues after not playing for 3 or 4 years. And I'm like, man, I need to go and like get my ankles and get my Achilles ready. But you just never know, because those are the times that people who were former athletes suddenly try and make a move that their body remembers from years ago, and something like that can happen. And I think the last thing that I want to touch on with both of you is just the kind of management of expectations or setting of goals. And how can somebody going into something like this that you know is going to be, you know, maybe an 8-month, 12-month or more process to be able to reach some of those goals, like how did you both go about setting goals together and achieving those incrementally along the way?
I think it's important as a therapist to, like, on that, you know, initial evaluation, to ask your patient what their goals are. And we see a lot of patients, and I'm sure you both have seen a lot of patients too, who come to you and they say, my doctor told me I can never run again, or I can never do this again, or I can never do that. And I think it's important to be able to listen to someone's goals. I never want to like shove off what their goals are, but you also need to give them, you know, these expectations and explain the process along the way. And unfortunately, like, I feel like a lot of post-op patients, they have their surgery and then they come to us and they have no idea what their protocol means. They have no idea, you know, what those words mean. And half the time when they get to you, they've already been doing some of those movements that maybe they shouldn't have been doing. And so as therapists, we're having to like really kind of deliver that kind of bad news, like, hey, we can't do this, this and that right now, but, you know, we've got to kind of get through this phase, and it's normal for you to kind of, you know, maybe feel low on energy these days, or maybe be a little bit more sore, or to have a little bit of popping when we start to do some of these movements. And so I think that a lot of post-op physical therapy is being there for your patient, explaining, you know, this is why we have to do what we're doing. And this is, if we can kind of stay true to this, then we're going to gradually progress so that we can do everything possible to get you back to the stuff that you want to do. So I'm not the type of provider that's going to look at a patient and say, hey, Stacy, like, I don't think you're going to, you know, do weightlifting this year. I don't think you're going to, you know, go hike Zion this year. Like, if those are her goals, I'm going to make those my goals too. And so we just have to figure out a plan. Like, maybe the timeline isn't going to be what the patient wants, but we just have to kind of educate them on the process, but, you know, be there and support them and do everything we can to help them get back to feeling like themselves. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. Like, patients are coming to us because they're in pain or something happened, but they're coming to us because they're not who they want to be. You know, they have goals, they want to get back to things. And I think that's, for me, the number one reason why I became a therapist is, you know, to be able to help people get back to, you know, the stuff that they love, but maybe to even be stronger, you know, and to see, like, Stacy the other day, you know, start implementing weightlifting, and, you know, she's lifting weights that aren't far off what she was lifting before. I think that just goes to show that the human body is really capable of big and great things. And, you know, we just gotta, yes, we have to be patient with some things, but we can be stronger than we ever thought possible. And the mindset that we get along the way and the mental strength that we gain through these injuries it's priceless. Like, it's just something that is going to help us perform better than we ever thought possible.
For my own timeline though, I knew that this is like a, you know, a year long injury. I know tissue healing timelines, you know, forwards and backwards. And I know how long things take to heal. And I know that obviously if the road was perfectly linear, that's, you know, what it would be, right? And so I gave myself an entire year to get back to lifting. And does that mean PRing? No. I mean, do I hope that it means, you know, getting new personal bests and new personal records when I do weightlifting stuff? Yes, but I'm just hoping to get on the platform and start, you know, being who a little bit of who I was before. So I've already signed up for a meet later this year, and I just started training, like Megan said, earlier this week. I'm testing kind of to see where I'm at right now, and I'm coming back stronger. I'm like fully on board with that. Like, I wanted to make sure that I did it the right way, and I built all the strength that I needed to be able to do all the things that I want to do, which is Olympic weightlifting. That's my sport. And we said, yeah, end of the year, and I'm definitely going to crush that goal now that I'm back on schedule. And then the other goals that I have were getting back to all the gymnastics skills that I used to be able to just kind of do whenever I wanted to do, like back tucks. I could just, you know, anytime anyone was like, hey, do a backflip, I could just do it, you know? And I'm like, man, am I ever going to be able to get back to that? And this week I started doing aerials again on the air track. So, which is like a kind of like a tumble track or like a springier surface. And I hope next week I'll be able to do back tucks again. And those are just goals that, like, I didn't have a time on that. I knew that, you know, really realistically it was going to be a year, but as I feel stronger, sometimes you just feel like you're ready. And like, if you can like visualize yourself doing it and you have no apprehension to do it, I think sometimes those days you just go for it too.
That's amazing. I can't wait to see your first back tuck after this injury. Are you still rehabbing?
Yes. So I've been rehabbing in 3 days a week for the entire time. So since January 3rd, every single week I've hit 3 rehab sessions a week, and I will continue to do that until I get 1 year post-op.
And I'm sure those are sessions that you are doing with somebody else, but you're probably doing things also on all the other days of the week.
Yeah, so I'm doing 4 days of strength training on my own right now, and those usually are about an hour to hour and a half. And then I do the 3 1-hour sessions of physical therapy with my physical therapist.
That's amazing. Well, I just appreciate both of you so much coming in. I think this has been such a valuable conversation to be able to see from the patient and the physical therapist points of view, especially both of you having been, you know, a part of this journey. And Megan, I was reading part of like your bio and the information you sent us, and you run ultras and 100-mile races, which is absolutely insane. Insanity. So I'm sure you've gone through a lot of your own training and injury or injury prevention style, you know, journeys yourself.
Yes. She's even had a couple Achilles kind of injuries kind of creep in since I got my Achilles injury.
I was having sympathy pains.
That's too funny. Well, at some point, we'll probably have to have you back on to talk about what it means to be an ultra runner. And again, like I said, the insanity that goes along with that. I only say that because I'm a sprint athlete and I'm envious of people who run longer than 3 miles. But That's my own problem, I think. Again, thank you both so much. I think everyone should go check out both your profiles on Instagram. Megan, you're at ultra_performance_PT. Dr. Stacy, you have the Physio Fix, but also I know you just started a personal page that's at Doc Stacy. We'll have all those linked up below. Is there anywhere else you want people to go to be able to learn more from both of you?
I have been, like I said, recording kind of my entire journey, and I've been vlogging about it on YouTube. So if anyone wants to check out literally like week to week progress of my Achilles journey and to go into further kind of details of the highs and the lows, the, you know, mental aspect as well as the physical aspect, check out my YouTube page.
Perfect. We'll have that linked up for sure. And I think we're going to have to link up that video too of the rupture and the process, and because that was a really cool video that you put together just highlighting it all, and to be here 8 months later and already weightlifting at the degree that you are and doing aerials, I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed. So I think you've had quite an incredible journey, and the process back has been really cool to see, and just being able to share that whole, you know, mental and physical and setbacks and everything that comes with it. We really appreciate you opening up and sharing, and you are helping our profession, and you're just continuing to move us all forward in a great direction.
That was just a great rundown with Dr. Stacy and Dr. Megan about what it's like to go through a real significant injury, have some setbacks, need to continue to stay motivated from both the patient and the therapist standpoint. If you've been loving these episodes, please consider sharing it out with friends or families. Make sure you go check out Dr. Stacy and Dr. Megan. And if you can consider it, leave a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.